Final set of variations to bring Beethoven's Opus 74 string quartet to a close. A set of variations that the very keenest ears have claimed prophesy so much that Johannes Brahms would later produce. Well, that performance was given by the Quartetto Casals in a concert they gave in September during last year's Mozart at Augsburg Festival. And that brings tonight's European edition of Radio 3 in Concert to a close. Next week I'll have songs by Fauré and Duparc, sung in Vienna by Marie-Nicole Lemieux, and also preludes from the second book by Debussy, played in Berlin by Alexander Melnikov. I hope you can join me for that. In the meantime, goodbye.
And that was Ian Skelly. Well, tomorrow night's Radio 3 in Concert comes from Manchester's Bridgewater Hall. It's given by the BBC Philharmonic, conducted by Nicholas Collen. They'll be playing Mark Simpson's Sparks, and then Lawrence Power will be the soloist in James Macmillan's Viola Concerto. After the interval, there's music by Gershwin, The Rhapsody in Blue, with the pianist Jonathan Scott as the soloist, and then Stravinsky's suite, The Firebird. And you can hear all that here on Radio 3 tomorrow evening at 7:30.
One of the world's greatest violinists is making a welcome return to London's Barbican Hall. Maxim Vengerov's entertaining programme evokes the spirit of the legendary virtuosi. Including Isai, Kreisler and Paganini. Maxim Vengerov in Concert, live on BBC Radio 3. Next Wednesday evening at 7:30.
The time is 3 minutes past nine now, and time for Drama on Three, Modern Morality Tales. Five of our leading dramatists examine contemporary attitudes towards sin and virtue in stories inspired by the medieval morality plays. Rebecca Front stars as a modern-day everywoman confronting her past. The plays are introduced by Dr. Sue Nibjidovsky, Senior Lecturer in Medieval English Literature at Bangor University.
For medieval folk, preparation for death was a crucial aspect of life. Wealth, youth and social status were no protection against death, who could strike at any time. As importantly, overindulgence in the joys of this life, food, drink, sex, money, counted against you in the next. Medieval morality plays, such as Mankind, reminded their audiences of the perils of worldly pleasure. In these plays, a character, named Mankind, Everyman, or as in the following plays, Eve, represents us all. Together with Mankind, we learn that how we live in the present influences directly where we will go in the future, hell, purgatory, or heaven, and how long we will stay there. The only certainty is that the afterlife lasts for eternity. Seduced by the seven deadly sins, pride, lust, envy, gluttony, lechery, sloth and wrath, and counselled by virtues like mercy, charity, humility and patience, mankind must choose the moral path in life to secure a place in heaven. In medieval morality plays, sin is always much more attractive than virtue, and the road to hell paved with good intentions. But by the close of a medieval morality play, all is well. During the Middle Ages, the church's teaching was there to guide folk into making the right moral choice. Following the church's instruction, in the morality plays, mankind mends his ways and his soul is saved. As these five modern morality plays suggest, in our own more secular world, the difference between good and evil is not so clear-cut. While youth, wealth and social status are still as ephemeral today as they were in the Middle Ages, as demonstrated in our first play, making the correct choices while navigating life without a spiritual sat-nav can lead to an unwelcome final destination. Moderation by Lynn Coughlin.
Right, here we are. correct location. Date? Yes. Time? Any minute now. 5, 4, 3, 2... Target has entered the canal. I am on scene and will proceed with the assessment. I expect you'd like to know something about my role in all this. Well, people normally become aware of me at times when they might be considering their mortality. They glimpse me. I can seem more like an idea than anything else, but the truth is, I'm a kind of spiritual estate agent. I come in, evaluate a life, check out its intrinsic worth. It's not as easy as it used to be. I mean, in the old days, once a life was over, most of them knew exactly how they'd done. Gone on a pilgrimage? Good. Starved a town into submission? Bad. Bit of adultery? Well, not acceptable, even if they were all at it. These days, most people don't believe in me because things are so secular. They think there'll be no process, but they soon find out they're wrong. Just need to take off my shoes if I'm going to get into the water. This is what I love about the job. Very much hands on. Yeah. Oh, it's chilly. This is Eve, 49, no spiritual beliefs, single, been up all night working on a presentation for the board. Crashed into canal. We shall know neither the time nor the place.
Hey!
Morning there! Of course.
I thought I was going to drown.
Doesn't take any time at all, does it, drowning? So, just a few basic questions to kick things off.
What did you just say?
A brief opportunity to look back at life, get things into perspective.
Look, I've just driven my car into the canal. I've been in an accident. I need to get to A&E.
Too late for that, I'm afraid. You're on to the next stage now, you know, passed on.
Don't be ridiculous. I'm having a breakdown.
So, my name's Jerome, and I'll be your spiritual estate agent for the day.
I'm in a coma. That's what's happened. This is just my mind playing tricks.
No need to believe in me. I'll just carry on anyway. So, how would you rate yourself in terms of having lived a good life? Out of 10, where 10 is extremely good, I died leaving the world a better place, and 1 is not good at all. I had no effect on anything or anyone for the better.
I don't support the concept of self-assessment, and I don't encourage it with my staff. Assessments should be based on an unbiased and accurate independent opinion.
That's why I'm here. No? Well, we could move on to the next section. Please answer if you agree, strongly agree, disagree, strongly disagree. In my life, I've tended to give more than I've taken. Or, looking back on the actions of my life, I've generally been a force for good.
And how many people actually say, yes, I was a great force for good in the world, well done me?
Surprisingly, it's often those who've done the most wish they'd done more.
I'm sure if I just swim up to the surface...
We can postpone the assessment till later, if you prefer. We do have the practical to complete.
The practical!
If you properly tonight, I'll be no good in the morning.
I will make for you a chamomile tea.
Oh. Two advisors from another time.
Get that down, Anna. I can make my own tea.
Anna!
And Isabel Sharp! It's been nearly 20 years. Now look, whoever you are, if this is one of those near-to-death experiences where I'm meant to see my life flash before my eyes and make amends, you'll have a long wait, because I don't believe in...
What?
In anything. So there.
You don't deny you had a past. You can't leave this world without confronting it. It's simply the usual arrangement.
Anna! Isabel!
I know why he's brought you here, Anna. Because Eve was always mean to you. Anna worked so hard for you and you paid her peanuts.
That is absolutely untrue.
Please, Miss Harrison, friend, do not say this.
I will say it. What did you give her, £4 an hour? 5?
It was the 90s. It was the going rate.
I like to look after Miss Harrison. I see, that's it. I have tapas and cortado.
I don't know how Anna ever put up with you.
Oh, Miss Harrison is a very nice woman.
Oh, shut up, Anna. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
And I suppose you do.
When you were out, Anna used to dry her clothes on your radiators.
Please, Miss Isabel, you don't say...
Yeah, why shouldn't she know what it was like for you? She had to dry her clothes in secret at your house because she hadn't the money to heat her own room.
I'm sure Anna would have told me something like that.
Would you, Anna?
Please, Sampa, yeah.
You're being ridiculous, Isabel. It was 20 years ago.
You've always had selective vision.
Oh, and I suppose you're the expert in not seeing what's right in front of your face.
I beg your pardon.
If I had to listen to you tell me one more time how we had to dedicate our lives to the destitute and disadvantaged, while you took money from your sister, who you couldn't stand, to pay for Reiki sessions or cranial sacral therapy or whatever it was, so you could maintain a sense of inner well-being.
Cognitive behavioural therapy.
What?
It was counselling, not Reiki.
Some albondigas, calamari, campos con argilo.
Anna, we're at the bottom of a canal. Apparently, I'm dead. Please stop serving us tapas.
I don't know why I'm bothering with this. If you're dead, you're dead.
Thank you.
So if we could just try and move things along.
Why the hell did you stop working with me?
I couldn't afford to live in London on what I was earning. And remember, I had a child to support.
And a designer fridge the size of a small cottage in Provence.
I'm sorry?
I lived in London all my life. I managed.
With help? From parents, from family, you never suffered.
Remember your goodbye note. I get back from the refugee centre and there it is. You can no longer live on a salary which fails to reflect your worth in the marketplace.
We don't do anyone any favours by underestimating our true value.
You have much stress, Miss Harrison. You need tea.
Please, Anna, I don't have time for...
Oh, actually, that's really good. I ran that centre for another 10 years after you left.
And I'm sure you never stopped banging on about it.
You believed in it once.
It's true. There was a time I thought I could make a difference.
Before you betrayed our clients.
I had every right to be paid reasonably in exchange for my labour.
Oh, like Anna was paid for the days, the months, the years she laboured for you.
Anna, are you going to let her use you like this?
Use her?
You've always thought you were perfect, Isabel. You made a career out of sacrificing yourself while at the same time endlessly complaining that you never had enough money.
I made mistakes. But what about your mistakes? What about Billy?
What about him? He's fine, he's doing fine, he's at Bristol.
Remember how he used to come back from school and say that they'd taken his lunch money?
Oh, that didn't happen often. I don't know why you're dragging it up now.
You gave him that money because you were always working.
Don't be ridiculous.
What other kid ever got £5 a day lunch money? When you didn't have a £5 note, you gave him a £10.
That has absolutely nothing to do...
You never had time. All you cared about was...
What?
Getting a big fat salary so everyone would think you were something special. I mean, kitchen tiles from Italy, for God's sake.
I earned those kitchen tiles.
Well, I hope you enjoyed them, because you sold what used to be your soul to get them. And now you're dead, and they're still stuck to the floor in Muswell Hill, laughing their little Tuscan heads off. People are ridiculous. You're ridiculous, Eve.
If I could just make a few observations, it might be useful not to see this reunion as an opportunity to settle old scores, rather a generous and unjudgmental exchange on life's journey.
Can you just keep out of this?
I wish to confess.
Well, I'm not actually a priest.
When I work for you, Miss Harrison, I steal much money.
What?
You have so much money, you don't know what you have. I know. You leave 50p here, pound coin there, £5 in sheen pocket in washing. I take, I need.
But I trusted you.
What's the trust? In trust we must know each other. You do not know me. Never know me.
But you worked for me for 6 years.
I confess to God, not to you.
Oh.
Why should I not take from you? You have too much. You have so much you do not even know what it is you have. You have clothes, shoes you never wear. You have much you don't need. I need. You are frog.
Frog?
The child of frog. Toad. Like the big fat toad, he eats up everything in the world until he burst. I like that. There. I say.
God.
Anna. Well, I can see you were in need.
Don't you forgive her? Only I can do that. She worked for me.
So do you forgive her?
No, I bloody well don't. You're sacked.
Cannot sack or dead.
If you wanted money, you should have asked me.
You say you hate the ones who whinge.
Oh, couldn't stand whinging, could you, Eve?
By whinging, I just meant...
You've meant anyone ever asking you for anything because you had nothing to give.
And you're perfect, I suppose.
At least I tried to do something.
Face up to it, Isabel. You couldn't even help yourself.
Face up to it? Well, try facing up to this. The money Anna used to find around your house, it wasn't yours half the time. It was Billy's.
That's insane.
I came over one day you got delayed in court and you asked me to check Bill was all right. And I found him going through your jeans. I thought he was stealing money, but he said no. He was putting money in there for Anna to find so she could buy herself something nice.
Really? No, it's not true.
He said he could always get money from you. He was never bullied. He wanted to give the money to Anna. He made me promise I'd never tell, and I never did, till now.
Was Bill? Billy cared about me. Oh!
Why? Why would he do that?
Don't you remember? He had such a soft heart.
He never tell me. He just do it, out of love.
If you could just begin to wind it up.
It's not true. I didn't ask to see you again, Anna. You can go back to wherever it was you came from.
I cannot go back. I die many years ago.
Oh!
I lie on a Sevilla. It's never cold. I had good life, many blessings.
But I don't want you to be dead. I would have helped you if I'd known.
You were too busy, Miss Harrison. This is life.
Oh, I've got to get out of here. Get away!
Eve! Eve! Come back!
I thought I was doing the right thing. I wanted to make a life for Billy and me, and now my life is over. I hated that new job.
Did you?
But I decided to make a positive out of hating it. I didn't realize.
What?
I've missed you. Do you still work at the drop-in?
No, it folded 5 years ago. Get ready to laugh again. I work in a B&Q now. It's good for me. Brought me down to earth. I could have done more too. I wish I had.
You've left the world a better place. Help people.
And there's still time.
What?
You thought I was dead? I've come here in a dream. I'm going to have to get up when the alarm goes and get dressed and go to B&Q.
But I want to go with you. I want to see you again. I want to talk to you.
We have talked. Oh, there it is.
That's Isabel, good. No, come
six.
Back.
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Petrov.
Wait! She's gone.
So, if you're quite finished...
Is it really too late to think again?
Think again?
Make a reassessment.
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand.
I've made some decisions I regret.
Now, if you'd just like to complete this form, you can be late to rest.
But I don't want to rest. I hate resting. What's the point in making people go through all this if they can't reform, if they can't change?
Bargaining's how many people resist the end.
But what if I could do something, just one valuable thing?
Please, come with me now.
No, I'm not coming. You can't make me. I'm swimming away. Swimming back to life.
Now we're down there. In the water.
See? See? I'm alive! I'm alive!
When they come so close to the end, they generally find themselves filled with a love of life, with wonder, with the best of intentions. For a while, anyway. Let's hope it lasts, eh?
Do you want some tortillas, Joram?
Oh, thanks, Anna. I wouldn't mind.
How about gambas? I make with garlic oil. It tastes of the sun. It's beautiful. You see?
It's delicious. Really, really good.
In our next play, we look at the greatest of the deadly sins, pride, understood to be the sin from which all others flow. Pride, or the excessive love of the self, was the sin that transformed Lucifer, the brightest of all angels, into Satan, and that inspired Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Being proud was considered such a destructive sin that one medieval spiritual guide describes how the slime of pride befouls the soul, and that if you persist in being proud, you will end up floundering in the filthy ooze in the pit of hell. In medieval morality plays, when pride or superbia is personified, he unashamedly encourages every man, our representative, to treat others as dung and of his own self make great boast. But, as the old adage says, pride comes before a fall, and in the medieval morality plays, humility is the virtue that defeats this most pernicious of sins. Yet today, fashion magazines, the spiritual guides of our own period, encourage us to take more pride in our appearance. Self-help books advocate that we take pride in our gender, race, sexuality, and our achievements. Is it now a sin not to have pride in oneself? Does taking pride in oneself merit not a fall, but fame? The play that follows explores this moral conundrum. Pride by Al Smith.
Mrs. Eve?
Yes.
Tom Blackwell, Lower Fifth English.
Tom Blackwell? Tom? Blimey, that's...
Yeah, it's a few years.
I do, of course I do. Tom, how are you?
Good. Well, you know, so-so.
You work here?
I do.
When did you leave?
2005.
10 years?
I know. It's a bit corporate, but yeah, you know, keeps the wolves. Are you still at Cranborough?
I am.
Good. I don't know if you're eating.
I hadn't thought.
Well, it's good. I'll bring you a menu. Carvery on today, so...
I'll have a look.
Is it just you, or...?
My acquaintance is running late.
Uh-huh. We'll get you anything while you wait.
I'll have a gin and tonic, slimline.
Single, or...?
Yes.
I can make it cheeky double on the sly.
It's only lunchtime.
Yeah, but Friday lunch. Got you. Right back.
You have no new messages. Saved messages.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Starters and mains on the front, specials on the back, route the king prawns.
Thank you, Tom.
Pleasure. You don't remember me, do you?
Of course I do.
Oh, it's okay. You must have to see a lot of kids.
I'm sorry.
It's funny, you know, when you're there, when you're that age and you're there, you think you're the only one that ever lived.
I suppose that's the arrogance of youth.
Well, you must see a lot of kids go through in however long.
I've seen my fair share.
How long have you been there?
This is my 30th year.
Wow, Mrs. Eve, that's a lot.
It is.
I should give you a prize or something.
They did. They gave me headmistress.
Congratulations. Yeah, I got me a promotion too. I'm deputy manager now.
Many congratulations.
I used to sit next to Early Palomar in English. You had me from 13 to 16.
Okay.
Yeah, and I played the guitar. I mean, I played the guitar in a school music competition, which I won.
Did you?
Yes, you were the chief judge.
Do you still play the guitar?
For laughs, but nothing more. Bit of a tough landscape.
Did you play in a band?
Yeah, I was in a band with Ernie Palomar.
I'm afraid I don't remember him either.
Yeah, he's pretty forgettable, to be honest. So are you staying, or...?
Sorry?
Are you staying at the hotel?
Oh, no, just the drink.
Pretty fancy.
Is it?
Yeah, not a lot of people come by for the drinks.
Why is that?
Well, expensive at the price. Get better deals on the high street.
I like the anonymity of a hotel bar.
Right. Well, if you want anything, just wave. Hope your acquaintance shows.
The person you are calling is not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
You've got 5 more minutes and then you've missed it. I'm the lady in red in the lobby. Thank you.
How's Mr. Eve?
He's fine.
Is he still teaching geography?
He is, though not at Cranborough now.
Oh, where's he gone then?
Cambridge.
Oh, I didn't realise he could do that.
Do what?
Well, go from teaching there to there.
What do you mean?
I mean the different level.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, but a place like that's a step up, isn't it?
Not from Cranborough.
Always thought it must be funny when teachers go out with each other.
Why?
Well, because you're playing it all out in front of these judgmental kids.
I don't think we really thought about it.
Yeah, I suppose that's what teachers do. Couple up with each other. Date within.
And are you dating a barmaid? I didn't meet my husband at the school.
Where'd you meet him?
Cambridge.
Oh, I see. I am dating a barmaid, actually.
Did you always sound like that?
Like what?
So estuarial. If you'd been so estuarial at Cranborough, I would remember. You must have changed.
Who says I wasn't estuarial before Cranborough and just pushed up not to stick out?
I would have noticed.
Yeah? How?
Everyone at Cranborough sounds a certain way.
Posh.
For want of a better word.
Yeah, I'm not posh.
What does your father do?
He's a High Court judge.
Ah.
Remember me now?
Somewhat.
Why do you remember him and not me?
I don't know, I suppose. You don't forget people like that.
People like what?
So commanding.
Commanding?
You'd know he was in the room, the force of personality. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm sure you were very promising too. Thank you for the light.
Maybe I still am.
What?
Promising.
I'm sure.
No, you said were. You said I'm sure you were very promising.
Well, I meant nothing by it.
Don't do that.
Do what?
Don't dismiss yourself.
I'm sorry, I think you're reading too much into this.
No, I'm not.
I didn't mean offence.
Do you think because I'm working in a place like this that I must have failed somehow?
That's not what I said.
No. You said paupers never make anything of themselves.
When?
When I was late.
For what?
For assembly. I was late once for an assembly and you made me walk to the front. And then asked everyone whether they thought I was a prince or a pauper. And they all just laughed, so you shut them up and then you asked me, are you a prince or a pauper? I didn't know what to say, so I just half giggled and then you said, you must be a pauper. For punctuality is the grace of kings and paupers never make anything of themselves.
I'm very sorry about that.
But what are you sorry about if you don't remember?
Because you're clearly much offended.
But wouldn't you be?
If someone had pointed out how late I was.
Not just someone, your teacher. They're not calling you out for being late, calling you out for being a pauper.
Oh, come on. There aren't any paupers at Cranborough. Your father's a High Court judge.
So?
So we make leaders, Thomas, cabinet ministers, barristers, generals and surgeons general. Perhaps it is a little demanding now and then, but we make it so with a view to drawing the best from our boys.
I wet myself in front of everyone.
Then perhaps you should have been made of tougher stuff. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to be left alone.
No.
Then I'll go.
Well, if you go, you'll miss your man.
Who says I'm meeting a man?
I might not be a master of men, Mrs. Eve, but I've worked here long enough to know that women don't wear dresses like that for their female friends.
Goodbye, Thomas.
Rusty 78.
Sorry.
Sit down.
What did you just say?
Rusty 78. Not so quick to go now, eh?
How do you know?
Ernie Palomar. He found you. I mean, he claims by accident, but I bet he likes sites like that. His sort of thing. Grubby.
You are...
Rusty. Yes.
How?
It's not hard to build a profile, Mrs. Eve. I didn't think you'd go for the name, to be honest. Thought you'd think it was a bit silly in 70s.
You don't look like
the pictures. I just got them off Google. Your pictures, on the other hand, very revealing. You don't come across online the way you do in real life.
What do you want?
I mean, in real life, you seem pretty closed and cold. I mean, online, you seem much looser. To be honest, I think I prefer that version.
What are you going to do with the pictures?
Depends.
On what?
On how this goes. Does your husband know? What do you think he'd say?
I'm sorry I ticked you off for being late.
You shamed me.
I'm sorry I shamed you in front of the school.
That's not enough.
Then what? What do you want?
Why are you a teacher?
What do you mean?
Why be a teacher? You could have done anything, right?
I wanted to bring the best out in people.
When?
I don't understand.
When did you decide to do that, to become a teacher?
At the start of my career.
You didn't think about anything else?
I always wanted to teach.
But at that level?
Yes.
Then why did you flinch when we talked about what your husband was doing?
I didn't.
You did? You said he was a lecturer at university now, and I said that was a step up, and you flinched.
I corrected you. It's not a step up.
Doesn't cause friction.
Where?
At home. or that competition might ruffle feathers in the nest.
It's a different kind of work. It's neither better nor worse.
Cambridge, come on.
That doesn't cross my mind.
But does it sting when you see former pupils doing well?
No.
I mean, obviously not me, but when you see them making something of themselves, the barristers, the surgeons.
Why would it?
Might make you feel a sense of loss.
It makes me feel a sense of pride.
A little part of you thinking, I wish that were me.
Never.
Sure?
I'm happy with my lot.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
You don't know me.
You're pretty honest online.
Oh, don't be silly.
And your guard's down. You're open.
It's a silly dating website.
I think that's the real you.
Do you?
Yeah, I think you thrive on the anonymity.
No.
The seediness.
No.
The opportunity to be honest.
Of what?
Of being vulnerable. Of feeling like you've let yourself down.
I haven't.
And ashamed for taking it out on all those young boys.
No.
When really they're your inadequacies and your failings.
How dare you judge me?
How does it feel?
You don't know me. You don't know anything about my private life. For all you know, he might know I'm here.
Who? See, you can't even say your husband's name.
You think I owe you some kind of respect?
You do?
You haven't earned it.
Yes, I have.
You're not old enough.
I am now.
You weren't then.
How do you know? How do you know? You never asked why I was late.
Why were you late?
It should have been a safe place, school.
Why were you late?
You just assumed there must be something at fault with my character to be late. I didn't try. I mean, nothing can be wrong outside those walls, not for the boys of Cranborough. It takes a lot to stand up for yourself.
Against whom?
You used to beat the shit out of me for not being good enough. No one questions a judge. I used to steal my mother's makeup to smoothen out the bruises. Hard thing to put makeup on first.
I'm sorry. I should have paid you more attention. I push the boys because I want them to make the best of themselves. I appreciate they might be my goals sometimes.
Thank you.
I don't think you're going to do anything with the pictures.
No.
I don't think you're that sort of person. I doubt you were then, I doubt you are now.
I'm not.
I'm very sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
Our next tale explores the deadly sin of envy. Its Latin name, invidia, is shared by the main character in the following play, and, much to her annoyance, nobody is able to remember either it or her. Envy's destructive force has long been recognised. According to the Bible, envy is the motivation for the first murder inciting Cain to kill Abel. It is the only deadly sin, also listed in the Ten Commandments, in which we are warned against coveting our neighbour's spouse, servants, livestock and goods. The sin of envy merited severe punishment. In Dante's Purgatorio, since they derive pleasure from seeing other people brought low, the envious are deprived of sight. Their eyes are sewn shut with iron wire. Envy's practice, when seeing his or her neighbour doing well, is to destroy him or her with backbiting or the wicked words of slander. This pernicious sin of the tongue is destructive, not only to the envious speaker, but also to those who believe his lies and to the victim of his slander. Envious words can kill without a knife, since false words ruin reputations. Medieval folk were so concerned about backbiting that it was an offence punishable under the law. In our celebrity-obsessed world, social media provides envy with easy access to the success of others. Many consider those in the public eye to have achieved merely hollow success based upon no more talent than our own. In these cases, might envy be a force for good, motivating the envious to do better, to reach higher and achieve further? Envy by Duncan McMillan and Effie Woods.
Envy. Envy.
Invidia.
Invidia.
Oh, nice to meet you. I usually go by my middle name, Eve.
Oh, it doesn't say Eve here, it says Invidia.
It's not a hard name to say.
Right, interviews have been running over a little. Sorry for the wait.
No, it's fine, it's fine. I've been reminiscing, actually.
Oh, excuse me?
The trophy cabinet.
Oh, Hillstop Primary's Wall of Achievement.
Class of 89.
A golden year before my time, of course, but the 100-metre record hasn't been beaten since.
Helen Polidora.
Oh, she's rather a legend to the students.
It was a photo finish.
Well, nobody remembers a runner-up.
It was me.
Oh, here's a picture of her when she was made head girl.
That's me.
Where?
Next to her.
Oh, deputy head girl Invidia Beju?
Beige.
Oh, Invidia Beige.
It really isn't a difficult name.
I can't quite make you out on this photo. You're rather in the shadow.
Quite.
We should start. This way. I probably shouldn't say, but it's rather an exciting day today. For the students, I mean. She's here. Helen. She's actually interviewing for the same position as you.
Honestly, I'm happy to do it. I love to bake. So, any excuse?
Oh, it's so generous of you.
Helen.
Invidia. What a wonderful surprise.
Oh, you know each other.
A little.
Invidia and I have been very good friends since school. Went to brownies together, secondary school, university. Even dated the same boy.
You married him.
In fact, up until last year, we worked at the same finance company in the city. Had booths next to each other.
Funny.
What brings you here, Viddy? You're not interviewing for the teacher's assistant position.
Indeed she is, and we're running late, so we
Excuse
should...
Excuse my surprise, but I never pictured you working with children, Bibbs. It's almost as if you've been following me.
Should we start?
Yes, of course. Thanks for coming, Helen.
Maureen, it was lovely to see you, as always.
You'll hear from us very soon. I'll call you myself.
Splendid.
In fact, why don't you just wait out here for a bit? We'll go for a cup of tea and catch up. This shouldn't take long.
OK, wonderful.
Follow me in... Invidia.
So lovely to see you, Vids. And good luck.
Helen.
Take a seat, Invidia.
Invidia was a student here too, Maureen.
Oh, really?
Year below Helen.
Same year. We sat next to each other in your class. You don't remember me?
Of course I do, of course. You were in the same class as Helen.
That 100-metre record. I was second. A very close second. Photo finish.
Right. Good. Well done.
You were sent the info packet?
Yes.
And you prepared a sample lesson?
On one of the virtues, yes.
Great.
And which virtue have you chosen?
Envy.
I'm sorry, did you say...
Envy, yes.
Right. Good. Great. Except we did say virtue, not...
Many people may regard envy as a vice, but I would assert strongly that envy is a force for progress. In fact, I'd say that envy is the motivating force behind all human progress.
That's very interesting. Wouldn't you say, Jonathan?
Interesting, yes, very...
I would start the lesson with a discussion about progress. Democracy, human rights. Progress of any kind comes from marginalised, subjugated minorities uniting to win the privileges they observe in the rest of society. A feeling of injustice. I want the right to vote, to work, to marry. I'm envious of your rights. I want them.
All right. Go on.
We are comparative animals. We measure our own fortunes against those of our peers.
That's an interesting take on the subject.
It is, isn't it? I worked in the financial sector, and it's in that environment that you really see human nature in the raw. It's Darwinian. It's survival of the fittest. It's kill or be killed.
Kill or be killed?
This job would be to work with 8-year-olds.
Which is why it's so crucial to tell them the truth about the world. Before it's too late, it's vital not to mollycoddle them with lies.
Lies?
About everything being all candy floss and rainbows. Children can handle the truth. They need it.
We don't want to tell children that jealousy is a good thing.
Envy, not jealousy, envy. Everyone thinks they're the same thing, but they're not.
Oh, right.
They are similar, but there's a subtle and important difference.
Really? Oh, I thought they were the same thing, different words.
Jonathan, I don't think
they're not the same at all. Jealousy is a reaction to the threat of losing something, something we already possess. Envy is a reaction to lacking something.
That sounds the same.
No, it's actually a world of difference.
Right.
If I think you're going to steal my husband, not that I have a husband or even a boyfriend, actually, if I feel the threat of losing something to you, then that's jealousy. But if you have a husband and I don't, and I want one, I really, really, really want one,
envy.
That's envy.
Envy.
And that's why it's such a great motivator.
Excuse me.
Yes. Sorry.
Perhaps we should move on. Could you tell us something about your last position?
I worked in finance in the city.
With Helen?
Yes. With Helen.
Small world.
Not really.
And here you are, interviewing together at your old school.
We're not together.
I just mean it's quite funny. You went to the school together, university together, worked together.
Lost our job together.
Well, yes.
I'm sorry, Maureen, can we just go back to the virtue thing? I'm not sure I explained myself very well.
No, you explained perfectly. I'm just not sure that it's a concept that Year 3 students will be able to understand.
Of course they will. Children in particular will understand really, 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 really wanting something that someone else has.
Yes, of course, a strong desire for a particular concrete goal can be a positive motivator for change and personal advancement. And one could argue that a feeling of envy has the advantage of clarifying one's desires.
Exactly.
But the problem with envy is that it is ultimately self-destructive.
Self-destructive.
The reason envy is traditionally considered a vice, not a virtue, is because of its insidious and self-defeating nature. I'm sure you know the Latin for envy literally translates as non-sight, or one could describe the condition as selective blindness.
I don't see what you're getting at.
The envious party is incapable of seeing anything other than that which they don't possess, and they would rather destroy the object of desire than see it in the hands of another to such an extent that they would sabotage their own fortunes to bring someone they envy screaming in flames to the ground. And that is not something I would want to encourage in 8-year-old children.
And that's why she's the head teacher.
You really don't remember me.
Of course, yes, of course I do. You were in Helen's class.
It's okay that you don't.
I've been a teacher here for 30 years. I've had a lot of students.
But you remember Helen.
Helen is on the Board of Governors.
Oh.
Her children attend this school.
Right.
She's a very active, valued member of Hillstock Primary PTA.
Of course she is. Of course. Sorry, silly me.
And she's the only student to ever meet the Queen or be on Blue Peter or Great British Bake Off.
She was on Great British Bake Off.
She's a celebrity in these corridors.
Oh, I love Bake Off.
Let's get back to the interview, shall we? Why do you want to work at Hillstock Primary?
Do you mean... I had a high-powered job in finance and now I'm interviewing for an entry-level position at a primary school. What's gone wrong? Is that what you're asking?
No, we ask everyone why they want to work here.
It's a pretty standard interview question.
I'm sorry, of course it is. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Shall we maybe start again?
I'd like that. Thank you.
So, why do you want this job?
Because I need a job. Because my career is in the toilet. Because I can't go back to finance even if I wanted to. Because I don't have any savings left. Because I'm going to lose my house and my car. Because I don't have any other options. I don't know what else to do. And I do like children. Did you ask Helen that question?
Of course.
What did she say?
I can't tell you that.
She said she loves this school, she loves the children and wants to do something positive for her community.
Oh, good answer.
Listen, Invidia.
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 We know about your firm. We know about the controversy, and we don't imagine you had anything to do with that.
The company lost £437 billion.
Oh, gosh, that does sound like a lot.
But they arrested the person responsible.
Why teaching? You're right, I'm curious. Looking at your CV, there doesn't seem to be any logic in you applying for this job.
Unless you were just trying to finally beat Helen at something.
I can't work in the financial sector again. That chapter is closed. I love this school, I love the children, and I want to do something positive for the community.
Well, that is a very good answer.
Yeah, very good, yes.
Well, congratulations.
Excuse me?
I know it's unorthodox to say in the interview, but we'd be delighted for you to join us.
Who?
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
You seem surprised.
I just thought Helen would get the job.
The thing is...
I did it. I finally did it.
Well done, Invalid.
I did it. Yes! Yes, 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 yes! Come on! Yes, yes, get in! Finally. Yes, yes, yes! I beat her! I finally beat her! I beat you, Helen! I beat you! I win!
You misunderstand.
Misunderstand?
You didn't beat Helen. You both won.
What?
Well, that's the best part. Having you both back. Head girl and her deputy. Class of 89. Dream team.
What?
There are two positions here. One for each of you. Frankly, you're both ridiculously overqualified. And we are understaffed. So it works out perfectly for everyone.
Two positions?
Both the same. Equal hours, equal status, equal pay.
Isn't that great? She stole!
Sorry, what did you say?
Helen. She was in on it. The 437 billion. She knew what was happening.
No, I'm not sure.
I mean, did you really think it was all the work of one person? We were all at it. That was the culture of the place.
Indriva.
Me too. That's how I know. We both knew what was happening. We both knew we were breaking the law, and that didn't stop us. In fact, I'd say it was mostly Helen and I. We were the masterminds.
In Gerber...
It's not a hard name.
You're talking yourself out of a job.
You realise we'll have to call the police.
Yes. Yes. I understand.
Jonathan, could you please escort Inviola...
Invidia.
...to the staff room? I have a phone call to make.
Follow me, please.
Oh, you're finished?
Follow us, please, Miss Polidora.
Sure. So, Bids, tell me, what virtue did you talk about? I'm dying to know. Envy. Really? It's not really a virtue, is it? I mean, it's self-destructive, sabotages yourself as well as others. Where are we going?
We're just going to wait in the staff room.
Oh, great. Better find out where the coffee machine is, I suppose. Oh, it's very cosy.
If you'll excuse me for a moment.
So what? So how did it go?
Oh, it went well, I think.
Medieval morality plays personified the seven deadly sins, bringing to life the qualities of each. In our next tale, we look at wrath. In medieval morality plays, wrath, sometimes called by its Latin name ira, stomps around, stridently advocating vengeance, and that anger is an excellent means to make others fear and so obey us. For all of its confident bluster, wrath is shown to be self-destructive and easily overpowered by the virtue of patience. In this day and age, have we renovated wrath? Do we now acknowledge as a virtue what we call righteous anger, when wrath is used to bring about change for the better? Are those who lose their temper and call to account the powerful and faceless institutions that control our lives now considered heroes rather than villains? In the play that follows, you have the opportunity to judge for yourselves. Wrath by Roy Williams.
No, no,
don't you dare transfer me to someone else. Do not do it. Look, just listen to me, please.
Hello, and welcome to our online grocery.
Yes, yes.
Your call may be recorded for quality and training.
Yes, I know, for the 100th bloody time, for God's sake.
If you are calling about your loyalty card, please press 1.
No.
If you are calling about online shopping, please press 2.
Yes, I know.
If you are calling about gift
no,
cards...
No! Why can't you just put me through?
Calling about an electrical
a voice.
Product,
just let me hear a human
four.
Voice.
If your call is about anything else, please press 5.
I don't want 5. I want option 2. Give me option 2. Please. Oh, God, please.
Hello.
Oh!
Welcome to our online grocery services.
What is the matter with these people? What are they trying to do to me?
Hello, and welcome to our online...
Yes, yes.
For a technical fault, we are unable to deal with your inquiry.
No, really?
Please try again.
Oh, to hell with you.
Your attention, please. This bus will be held here for several minutes to help regulate the service.
Oh, this just gets better and better. Yes, Ian, what is it?
You on your way back?
Yeah, I'm on the bus now. I don't know. I'm not angry. Look, what is it? What do you want?
I'm just trying to find out when you're back.
Yeah, I said I don't know. I'm on the bus and it's just stopped.
Why?
Because it bloody well likes to do that.
So you've no idea when you're back.
Soon, I hope. Oh, look, about the shopping. That wretched automated system is driving me mad. Don't bother waiting for them. Is there any chance you could run out and get a few things from the corner shop? I'm not upset. I'm just hungry, thirsty and completely stressed out. Like I said to you earlier, they can go to hell.
Did you tell them that?
No. The minute I left, I wished I had said it to them right there and then.
Yeah, well, I really think you should have. I think you should tell them stuff, isn't
it? Yeah, well, if you feel so passionately about it, I will call Helen back tomorrow, tell her exactly that, and let her have it with both barrels, if that will make you happy.
And what about settlement?
Oh, Ian, darling, please, give it a rest with the annoying questions. I don't know. Please, just go to the bloody corner shop and buy me some sodding wine. Anything, as long as it's not Chardonnay. Oh, just use your imagination, will you? I'll be there as soon as I can.
Try and text me.
Yeah, I will. Goodbye. Oh, my God.
Your attention, please. Please listen to the following announcement.
No, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't even think of doing it. I will kill you.
All change, please.
No, for God's sake.
All change, please. This bus stops here. All change.
Excuse me.
All change, please. Thank you.
Yes, I heard that bit. Thank you.
Good. All change.
Please stop saying that.
Very well, then. Would you mind getting off the bus, please?
I would just like to know, why does this always happen on this route?
I do not know.
Yes, you do.
All change, please.
You are aware that everyone has gone off the bus now.
Everyone except you. All change, please.
Why are you refusing to answer my question?
Please, madame.
Just answer my question. Why does this always happen on this route? Hey, that bus was an 895.
Yes.
This is an 895.
What is your point, madame?
I shall tell you, as you can't be bothered to work it out for yourself.
You know, I really don't appreciate the way you are speaking to me.
You are asking people to get off your bus.
This is not my bus. I only drive it.
But why didn't you signal that other bus to stop so it can pick us passengers up?
There wasn't any time.
You have plenty of time. Come off it.
Please, all change.
If you want us all to get off here, if we have to get off...
There's no if. You do have to.
You could have signaled that bus. We could have been on that one. What is the matter with you people?
People?
Yes, bus drivers. Why can't you ever take the time to stop and think?
When you have quite finished, there wasn't time to signal. I didn't know.
One or the other, please. You cannot have both.
What is it that you would like me to say?
It's not what I would like you to say. It's what I would like you to do. Your job.
Well, here I am, doing my job. Now will you please get off the bus?
Lord knows how long we're going to have to wait for the next one.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Don't be sorry. Just tell me when it will be.
A few minutes.
And how exactly do you know that?
They informed me on their radio, and another one will be along in 5 minutes.
That is such a lie.
5 minutes, madam.
Do not call me madam. After the day I've had, I don't want anyone calling me madam ever again.
Well, I am sorry to hear that.
No, you're not. People like you never are.
And what does that mean? People like me?
Lackeys. Public service lackeys. You lot who are never happy unless you're going on strike every 5 minutes. Well, not today, matey.
Just a minute. I'm not on strike.
Then drive this bus.
I can't do that.
So, it's completely broken down. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it has. I think so.
You think so?
Do you mind?
You're not a very good liar, are you, my friend?
Look, please. Just get off the bus.
No.
What?
I said no. I'm not going anywhere.
Neither is this bus.
You can't even tell me if this bus has broken down or not.
I do not have time for this, lady.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to make time, aren't you?
Get off my bus.
We both know you're taking this bus back to the depot where you first came from. You think I don't know?
Know what?
What was it?
What was what?
Buses from your garage aren't running on time. Your company is scared of paying fines, so they resort to cancelling services, coming up with ludicrous excuses of your buses breaking down as cover. Is that any closer to the truth? Tell me, am I getting warm?
I couldn't say.
You can say. You can say there's nothing wrong with this bus at all.
Are you getting off or not?
I don't mind telling you, honestly, I don't. I am so sick and tired of being treated like this. We're all tired of it, absolutely tired of it. All we want to do each evening is go home. Just go home. Is that too much to ask? Not to be left out there on the street in the freezing cold for bloody ages. Too much to ask, no?
What do you want me to say? You are right. That is exactly what I am doing. There is nothing wrong with this bus. I must take it back to the depot to help regulate our service. Are you getting off now?
No.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You're being used.
Just get off, will you?
Your bosses are using you and your colleagues.
Get off the bus!
Why can't you just say it?
Say what? What is it you want me to say?
That you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore.
What?
It's from Network.
Network?
It's a film about a man who loses his job, who can't take it anymore. I know exactly how he feels.
Have you lost your job?
Yes. Today. This afternoon, to be exact.
I am truly sorry about that.
Thank you. But you know what? I'm not going to take it anymore.
Fine.
Fine?
Yes, fine. Absolutely fine. This is good. Good for you. But not on my boss. Please. Not today.
If it makes you feel any better, I wasn't planning this.
I believe you, but I must take this bus to the depot. I cannot have a passenger with me on a defective bus.
It isn't defective, is it?
I will lose my job.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, you will get off?
No.
Why can't you write a letter to my boss, the company or something? Take it up with them.
I don't want to take it up with your boss or your company. I want to take it up with you.
Why me? What have I done to you?
Because this isn't right. You should do something. You should be somebody.
I am somebody. I'm somebody trying to get you off my boss.
Wasted energy, my friend.
I am not your friend.
I'm just so sick and tired of this.
You can't take any more?
That's right. I can't take any more. Every single day, we pile onto these buses like sheep with barely an inch of space between us. Try and imagine what that's like during the summer, a searing heat. And we moan and we shout and we complain, but nothing's done about it. We just carry on thinking all of our pathetic, petty lives are in control, that we are in control. What a joke. An absolute joke, that is. I've just spent the last 20 years in a job believing that. 25 bloody years. And now what? Now what?
I don't know. How should I?
We don't talk to each other. No one talks to each other. We allow computers and machines to do our work for us. We're nothing but blips now, blips and numbers on a computer screen. One press of the delete button and that's it, we're finished. We have nothing. It's the way it is. No, it is not the way it is. I am doing something about this. Just for once, things do not have to be the way it is.
Would you like me to call the police?
Why are we so afraid to talk to each other?
to feel each other, to engage.
I don't know what you are talking about. People like you always get what you want.
I'm sorry.
I bet you shop at that fancy store. What's it called? Waitrose.
You don't know anything about me.
Yes, I do. I've been living in this country long enough to fully understand people like you.
I have lost my job. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what I'm supposed to do anymore.
What you are supposed to do is get off my boss.
No. No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Why are you doing this to me?
Have you not been listening? Because enough is really enough. Someone needs to take a stand.
Do you really believe I don't take a stand?
Well, you asked everyone to get off, didn't you? You lied about it being broken down. You are merely taking orders from a very corrupt system.
A corrupt system?
It's not funny.
It's a little funny. Look, I do not make the rules.
Of course you don't. I know you don't.
I just want to do my job.
Me as well.
To do it good.
Me as well. This is why I'm doing this, to show them all. All we want to do is our jobs, to do our jobs well. To live a life.
All right.
So if you're going to call the police, you may as well do it now. Because I'm still not getting off.
I believe you. Lord knows I believe you now.
So? What are you going to do?
If this is what you want, fine by me. It's Samson here. I have a problem. Passenger here refuses to get off the bus. Call the police for me. With any luck, that will scare her.
I heard that.
You are meant to.
I'm not getting off this bus.
I made the call. The police are on their way.
I'm still not getting off.
Oh, I think you will. One sign of them and you will be running off this bus.
Well, we will have to see about that. So what's your name?
Excuse me?
We may as well talk to each other as we're waiting for the police, so... Your name's Samson, right?
Yes.
Pleased to meet you, Samson.
Likewise.
Oh, it started to rain outside.
I know.
Got dozens of people out there waiting for the next bus.
I can see.
Can't you just let them back on for a minute?
No way.
They're getting soaked out there.
I can't.
Where are you from, Samson?
Forest Gate.
I mean, where are you from originally?
I know you did.
Very well. You don't want to tell me. I understand. I'm sure you have your reasons.
Sierra Leone.
Oh, I see.
I doubt that.
It must have been so hard for you.
Hard?
To escape from all the fighting that's been going on over there, the wars.
Don't. Do not do that.
Do what?
Pretend that you care.
I do care.
Listen, woman.
Do you mind? I'm not your woman.
I have been living in this country long enough to know that people like you do not care about the likes of us. You do not see us. We drive your buses, we clean your floors, but you do not see us.
Samson, I know what you mean.
How could you know?
Because no one sees me either. Not my family, not my friends, and not the people I used to work for, because I no longer matter. I want to be seen as well, Samson. I want to matter. Why do you think I'm doing this?
This is not the way. None of this is worth it.
Is to me.
We'll find another job.
Nope, I won't.
Look, do you really think any of this behavior is going to change anything?
I don't know. I'm tired. I'm just so tired and scared.
There's nothing we can do about it. Nothing. So yes, we are all the same. They are here.
I see them.
It's best if you just go with them. Don't cause trouble.
I'm angry, Samson. I'm not stupid. I knew it would come to this. You are wrong, you know, Samson. We still have faith. There is something we can all do.
What?
I've no idea. It will come to you. Just like this all came to me 15 minutes ago.
Come with us, madam.
Oh, please don't call me madam. I'm 50, not 80. Goodbye, Samson.
Goodbye.
It's all right. I'll listen for you.
I never knew her name. Samson here. All resolved. The woman is off the bus. On my way back to the depot. Listen, when is the next bus coming? I have people here waiting.
Car accident on the main road. Traffic piling up. No bus for another 40 minutes at least.
But these people have been waiting. In the pouring rain.
Nothing we can do.
But there is something I can do. I can take these people home.
Your bus is broken down.
No, it is not. We both know that.
Samson, what do you think you're doing?
I have no idea, boss. It just came to me. Sorry for the misunderstanding, folks. This bus is fine. Come out of the rain. I'm going to take you home. All aboard!
Our last tale explores the role that virtue plays in leading a good life, and for those who subscribe to such a belief, facing the time of your judgment with a CV full of good deeds. Personified virtues, chastity, moderation, charity, diligence, patience, kindness and humility, appear in medieval morality plays offering spiritual guidance to every man, are representative, and presenting opportunities for every man to enhance his life's resume before it is too late. Practice of each of these seven virtues was understood to defeat its corresponding deadly sin. For example, humility overcomes pride, moderation gluttony, and chastity lechery. Under the guidance of the virtues, every man learns to make better moral choices, and, at these plays' conclusion, the figure of justice appears and is shown to be satisfied that every man has mended his ways and that he merits the chance to go to heaven. According to church teaching, in the Middle Ages, the difference between good and evil, virtue and sin, was white and black. While some folk today ascribe to this binary, in our more secular world, many are troubled by shades of grey, uncertain concerning the degree to which an act is a clear-cut sin. To what degree does motivation and a life well lived prior to a crime mitigate what may well be understood as a sinful act? Now is your chance to judge those who sit in judgment over the protagonist of tonight's play, Eve. Justice by Lizzie Nunnery.
I got the address online. A list of all the staff, and he's at the top, with his shining, smiling face. Top button undone to make him look friendly. I tell Jenny I'm popping to the shop, and I hardly know where I'm going till I'm on the bus. Till I feel the direction it's pointing.
Look at the state of her.
Two women sat behind, all acrylic nails and eyelashes, giggling, hissing. And I look down and realise there's a hole in my tights, climbing all the way to the knee. State of her, they're saying, state of her. And most days I'd tell them where to go, but today I turn my face to the glass. Friday, early evening, and town's warming up. Bars glowing yellow as the bus edges through. A skinny man in a sparkly gold suit stumbling outside. Arms in the air, singing Sinatra. And I wish I was him. I wish just once I could have it my way. And when I get there, I nearly turn round again. This looming office block, glass and steel, all dancing reflections. And who am I?
but this old woman's walking in ahead of me, rubber gloves poking out of her pocket, and before I can think, I'm following. My feet behind her feet, through the sliding doors, through the foyer, down a corridor till she stops. She stops and stares at me.
Are you all right,
love? You all right, love? And there's something so kind in her voice, I want to say no. I'm not all right. Nothing's all right. But the lift door's opening behind her and I just nod. I nod and move past and keep moving till, like a dream, like a daydream made real, I'm there. I'm stood outside his office door.
Come in. Yep. Make sure you enter the bin today, OK? Some kind of stink.
You, the director.
Sorry? Are you new?
I'm here to talk about my daughter.
Who let you in here?
About something she signed.
Now listen, there's a very efficient complaints procedure.
Because the thing about my Jenny is, she's not quite right, you know what I mean?
I'm afraid...
Few cards short of a deck, few sandwiches short of a picnic. That's what people say. And I hate it when they say those things, but it does go to show that most people, basically everyone who speaks to her, they know.
I've never spoken to your daughter.
Your employees have. Quite a few of your employees. They seem to think it was a good idea to give her free, separate loans.
Oh, okay. I see what this is. If your daughter's 18...
She's 19. She's a child.
If your daughter's 19 and passes the relevant assessments...
What assessments are those? Skint and gullible?
If she has independently approached our lending service...
She saw your advert with all the flashing lights...
In the interests of equal opportunities, we cannot legally refuse her a loan.
I want you to tear it up. I want you to go into your computer now and delete whatever files...
I'm sorry, but there's a protocol.
But you're in charge. You could decide...
There are systems in place.
I'm going to lose my house. I've got two other kids.
Look, there's no injustice
How
here.
How does 10 grand become 30 in a month? You told
Madam,
me that.
The terms and conditions
are wrong. They are wrong.
You are on private property. You're trespassing in this place of work.
I'm asking you to help me.
And I'm asking you to get out before I alert the police.
No.
Jesus!
Just listen. Please, I'm just...
What do you think you're going to do with that?
Nothing. If you do the right thing...
The right thing? You wave a knife at me.
Make an exception.
I've just pressed a button under my desk.
Show a little bit of mercy.
Police will be here in 5 minutes.
Please.
You've got 3 kids. Well, this is your chance to walk away.
I've got nothing. This is all I've got.
Give me that.
Pain. Like a scream through my skull. The room sliding. Clouding, my hand round the knife in his stomach. Just listen, just
look at the state of her.
Where? You were on the bus. You.
She remembers us.
We do make an impression.
Where am I?
The assessment suite. Do you like it? We just had a ceiling retiled.
Assessment?
Yours.
Are you wheat or are you chaff?
She looks a bit chaffy to me.
Am I dead?
Unless you're here for a holiday, love.
Pleasantries aside, though.
Pleasantries absolutely aside.
You've found your way into a right pickle, Eve.
You've pickled yourself quite thoroughly and made us a big pile of paperwork.
But the sooner we get you processed, the sooner it's lunchtime.
It's not the cold-blooded killers I mind. It's these whoops-a-daisy, I might have murdered someone types messing up the filing system.
I didn't murder him.
All right, tell us more about that.
I went there for help.
Funny way of asking for it.
I only meant to scare him. If you'd seen my little girl.
She's not a little girl, though, is she?
She doesn't stop crying. Phone calls, hounding her day and night.
See, what I'm hearing is you had a motive.
Not to kill him, not for that.
Do you like fire, Eve? Because I know a place that's really toasty.
He had to take responsibility.
Too right he did. He was bringing everyone down.
Who let you in here?
Lovely to see you too, Rat.
I've seen you. You were singing in the street.
Everyone's seen me, sweetheart. I do tend to sparkle. Talking of which, who says we grease the wheels with a nice Lambrini?
Your wheels are greasy enough, Murph.
Heard you had this case on. Open and shut as far as I can see.
You can't see ours from elbow.
The fella was a nasty piece of work.
Not the point, is it?
You're telling me you're all right with it? Man like that, feeding off desperate cases like her.
Hey?
Like a vampire. A disease in a suit.
It could be the devil's disciple. It wouldn't change what she did.
Wouldn't change what she took. A life's a life.
And Evie needs to pay.
Rough cow like her.
Sticking a blade in an upstanding man like that.
Left him spitting up blood on his office floor.
Oh. It's only maths though, isn't it? Mr. Professional Killjoy was sucking all the happiness for what? Thousands of people. Him dead, that rights the wrong. That's justice.
Should suffering lead to more suffering? Is that what you want, Ruff?
There is actually a protocol here.
Oh, I'm sorry to butt in.
You're the cleaner.
I'm Mercy, love. How are you holding up?
This is an official moral audit.
Couldn't you make an exception for the girl?
Couldn't you stay out of this?
You didn't plan it, did you, love?
She went there with a knife.
Stretch a person too far, one day they'll snap.
So we're putting conditions on this stuff now.
I was trying to put things right, start things new.
Either it's right or wrong, or what have we got?
She took a man's life. She watched him suffer.
And people like that go down, not up.
He'd have let me suffer. He'd have let me die a slow death at the bottom of the pile. He'd have taken the ground from beneath my feet, never thought twice about it.
He's not the one we're assessing.
Maybe he should be. He could have killed her in that fight.
Let's keep focused. He's the one with the knife in his guts. She's the one with the blood on her hands.
Didn't she have to defend herself? Wasn't her life worth more than his?
Her life? The woman lived in the same two-bed terrace from the day she was born. Barely passed an exam. Never held down a job more than 2 years.
But she always kept a smile on her face. Always gave away what she could. Time, money, energy.
What, in her kitchen in the back of nowhere?
The fella she's just butchered was of use to society. He gave people a chance to fulfil their dreams.
All for his own miserable gain.
He lived in the world.
He drank it dry. And he never bought a round either.
He gave people somewhere to go when everyone else had closed their doors.
That's giving. That's a just life.
If society judged her, wouldn't she be acquitted? Wouldn't she be redeemed?
Things that old aren't made new.
There was a December day, 10 years back. Freezing outside, hail and wind, and I wander into the supermarket to get warm. Walking down the aisles with no money in my pockets and no dinner in my stomach. I'd lost a cleaning job the week before and probably I didn't want to go home because the grandkids were there and all they could talk about was Christmas and all the things their mates were getting and doing, and we weren't even going to have a roast on the table. And I saw all these chickens lined up, tied and trussed. And there was this small one, just small enough to fit inside my bag. And who did it hurt? And what did it matter? And I was coming back out past the checkout when someone caught my wrist, pulled me aside.
I could see the security guards clocking you. I could see how it was going.
You put £5 down and said, I'm paying for it.
You were me on another day in another light.
You were redemption then. You offered me that.
Not another one of these.
A pure act of mercy. It's enough to redeem her, isn't it?
Not the golden effing act.
The glow indeed.
I don't understand.
You found yourself a loophole, sunshine.
You're new, Eve.
Christ, that's a draft.
There's a pulse.
What's that noise?
It's life, sweetheart.
It's coming back to you.
It's like a head injury. Keep her steady.
Oh, everything hurts. My head.
It's all right, love.
Are you with me?
You're crossing over.
No, please help me.
It's out of our hands.
I'll see you again, Eve.
We all will.
Lay off the knife attacks in the meantime.
But I'm redeemed. I'm new. You said. You said.
Possible skull fracture. We're going to need to move fast.
Oh,
Are you with me? Can you tell me your name?
Eve.
Can you see me clearly, Eve?
Oh.
Do you know where you are?
Oh, I didn't mean... Not that.
Keep still, okay? It's very important.
Not to kill him. I didn't mean to kill...
It's okay. He didn't kill anyone. He's in a bad way, but he'll live.
Live?
I need you to relax.
The blood!
You've got a head injury. Yeah, don't worry about the police right now.
Oh. Is the light funny in here?
Tell me what you can see.
Everything's golden. I'm golden.
You what?
I'm new.
We're going to get you to hospital, Eve. You're going to be fine.
It's okay. I'm okay.
You understand what I'm saying, Eve?
I'm brand new.
In Justice by Lizzie Nunnery, Eve was played by Rebecca Front, the managing director by Nick Underwood, Wrath, A.D. Allen, Spite, Scarlett Brooks, Mirth, Ewan Bailey, and Mercy, Susan Jameson. In Wrath by Roy Williams, Eve was played by Rebecca Front, and Samson by Steve Toussaint. The supervisor was Nick Underwood. In Envy by Duncan McMillan and F.E. Woods, Invidia was Rebecca Front, Jonathan, Alex Lowe, The Head, Susan Jameson, and Helen, A.D. Allen. In Pride by Al Smith, Mrs. Eve was Rebecca Front, and Tom Hughes. In Moderation by Lynn Coughlin, Eve was Rebecca Front, Isabel, Anastasia Hilly, Anna, Scarlett Brooks, and Jerome, Ewan Bailey. The director was Sally Avens.
Next week's play is The Father by Florian Zeller. Kenneth Cranham plays a man suffering from dementia. That's our drama on three next Sunday evening at 9 o'clock.
Next week on Radio 3, find out how possibly the greatest French composer who ever lived got by with a little help from his friends. Composer of the Week explores the relationships that shaped the music of Claude Debussy.
When they met, Debussy was about 18 and Madame Vanier, 32. The Russian impresario Sergei Diaghilev went to great lengths to sign up Debussy. Up until Stéphane Mallarmé's death, Debussy became a regular guest at the poet's Tuesday gatherings.
Claude Debussy is Composer of the Week, beginning on Monday and then all week at midday and 6:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
In an hour's time at 20 past 11, we'll be hearing music by the 19th century German composer Salomon Jadassohn. His First Symphony and his Fourth Symphony, and between them, the Cavatina for violin and orchestra. But now it's time for this week's Early Music Late, presented by